Hare Krishna. I want to express my great happiness that now I can go into the listening mood and go into a step away from the presentator's seat and give it to a much more qualified presenter, our Burijan Prabhu. For those of you who do not have visited the Govardhan retreat recently, we are up till now doing it actually in a trio. Burijan Prabhu, Jagatarini, Matati and myself, and we have some very, very good and vibrant ideas about retreats per se. Mostly Burijan Prabhu is the creative mind behind it. This Japa retreat we only do in tandem, that means the two of us. For the Govardhan retreat you will also hear Jagatarini more often. She's also visible or audible, hearable a few times here. It's very, very nice in a retreat to hear these deeper subjects which bring us to a deeper place within us from different angles of perspective. So I request you to do a very attentive listening. Some of the concepts I heard, which you have heard, will be highlighted from a different perspective, from Burijan Prabhu's perspective, and we sincerely hope that this will add to give you a round picture and a complete picture. As you might have heard, today is the day where Burijan Prabhu will guide us into an understanding of the holy name, Nam Tattva, we could call it. And tomorrow he will guide us in a practical experience where we will go deep into the chanting. We will again visit tomorrow yesterday's very wonderful universe, Vilaska. So without wasting any more of your time, I want to invite Burijan Prabhu to sit down and request all of you to affectionately greet him by loudly calling out, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Thank you, Maharaj, for speaking from very, very deep realization about the holy name, about Krishna consciousness. I'll take care of it. Chanting the holy name. Maharaj is a very deep practitioner of the science of Krishna consciousness, especially in chanting. So what we heard from Maharaj was not at all theoretical. In fact, it was the attempt of one very deep soul who has tasted very deeply the holy name to share his heart, to share his experience. And this is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement in fact, and it's the essence of Krishna consciousness, its association with devotees. And that association takes the form in a very, very simple way of devotees opening up their hearts . That's all it is, really. That's all preaching actually is. It's just when a devotee opens up his heart. Because what's in a devotee's heart is devotion. And that speaking and what's in a devotee's heart is spoken, it comes out the mouth. But it is not an ordinary sound vibration. It is what's in the devotee's heart, and that is what comes out. So thank you very much for taking us up the mountain yesterday, especially after chanting for a while your second description of Krishna returning home with his effulgence and his sweetness engulfing all of Braja and rescuing them from their separation. Now we'll sing a little bit.
Gopi janabala ba girbardari Yashoda nandana vrajana ranjana Jashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jamuna thiravana chari Jamuna thiravana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
The way that this retreat has been organized first it bewildered me in a sense, even though I was one of the organizers of it. And the reason that it was bewildering to me was because usually a retreat would be organized in such a way that the first day would go like this, and the second day would go like this, and the third day would go like this, and the fourth day would bring us to the summit, to the topmost point. But what we've done is we've, first day, and then the second day, we've gotten to the most mysterious, different universe. And then there's still two more days. Now, what do you do? What do you do next? So, of course, what we do next is we come down and then we go up again. And I thought that this is actually quite wonderful because our time in the Dham is so fortunate and we have so much to learn from it. And to give an example, now's the time. Now, as I've been sitting where Maharaj has been sitting for the last 2 days, and I've been noticing something quite interesting. Look over here. This, aside from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, take it down. There's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but aside from that, look at this cloth over here. Now what do you see? It's quite different from what you saw when there was something very, very thick in front of the window, right? What's the difference?
Transparency.
Not quite transparency, but you can see so much more what's on the other side. And the difference
between being in an ordinary place and being in the transcendental world, Goloka Vrindavan, this world that we're actually sitting in Vrindavan, in Barshana, is just like this. We can perceive so much more of the spiritual world coming through than we can in an ordinary place. And that perception of the spiritual world is very sweet, it's very purifying, and it's extremely encouraging. And it bestows many gifts to us. So we've gone up the mountain in our journey of this retreat yesterday, and we all had our different experiences because we are different individuals. And now, over the next 2 days, we're going to gain our strength again, and then today gain our strength and speak more about what can happen and how to spend our time on top of that mountain chanting Krishna's names, and how to do it in such a way that we gain the maximum amount of benefit from being in this place where the spiritual world is, practically speaking, pouring through into our hearts, into our consciousness. How to take advantage of that. So that is what I am supposed to help with in my little way, to help prepare the devotees and myself, of course, for our second journey to the top of the hill, to a different universe during our time here. So as the first step in this preparation, what I'd like everyone to do is take out your pens and papers. And there's three things we're going to do right now in our 10-minute or 12-minute writing session. 10, 11, 12, we'll see how it's going. And the first thing I would like you to write about. Okay, is everyone, raise your hand if you're not quite ready to write. Okay, the first thing I'd like you to write about will be the best of what happened while you were chanting your rounds yesterday. The best of what happened. Now, before you start, think of yourself at the bottom of the hill, walking up the hill, and then sitting down, settling into your place, and chanting Hare Krishna. Think of that for a few moments, and then begin writing of the best of your experiences while you were chanting your Harinam, the chanting Krishna's holy names. Okay, begin. 3 minutes, and I'll tell you when it's 30 seconds before that. But just keep the pen moving. Keep writing. Okay. Now, for the second part of this, you can imagine what I'm going to ask you to write about. Write about what didn't go well. 3 minutes on that. What didn't go well? Keep your pen moving. The worst of what your mind did to you, the worst of your experience, write it down. Keep the pen moving. And if you're not sure what to write, even just write, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, and something will come. But don't start writing Radhe, 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 because you may never stop. The worst, the most difficult, the most testing and trying of your time yesterday. Okay. Now for the third part, I would like you to write what your hopes for improvement are, what you would like to do differently, and any ideas how you could do those things differently to improve your situation, your chanting, during our next, yes, for our next journey, and then also forever. Because it is this, your hopes for improvement, what you'd like to do, what your hopes are, what you'd like to change perhaps, do a little bit differently. Even something simple, not sitting in the sun, eating more, eating less, practical, and whatever. Without hope, we die. When I heard Maharaj's presentation, I was quite surprised, and I was quite frightened also, because so many of the things that I wanted to say, Maharaj actually said. So I was surprised, because oh no, it had happened. I'm the second speaker and everything's already been said. But then when I understood that we have to go up the mountain again, I thought practically speaking the same points again, but from a different angle, because of course we are individuals, would also be helpful to remind us of what Maharaj said, and also to gain some additional insights from some other person's point of view, another aspirant's point of view. And I would like to begin. Now, the point of view that I would like to speak from will include Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's more from the point of view of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the first time, practically, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we hear Mahaprabhu glorifying, himself glorifying the holy name and its importance, was a very significant and quite, what's the word, very dramatic time. Because Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. And when Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he stopped at the city of impersonalists, Benares. And Mahaprabhu was always dancing in ecstasy and chanting Krishna's names in great ecstasy. And as he was doing this, the philosophers of Benares became very disturbed and they became haughty, dismissive. What is this sannyasi doing? He's just chanting, he's dancing. It is just a sentiment. What should he be doing? Vedanta. He should be studying Vedanta. This is the philosophical approach. This is what this sannyasi is doing. It's just sentimental. They were criticizing him in a very, very terrible way, not actually understanding in the slightest bit who Mahaprabhu was and what he had come to give. So somehow or another, although Mahaprabhu did not accept invitations to eat at people's homes and what to speak of eating with Mayavadis, there was an engagement and he was invited to attend. And Mahaprabhu was, of course, all intelligent and he had a plan how to change their hearts. So the first thing he did is they were all inside. They were accusing him of being sentimentalist, of a lesser sampradaya even. So he sat outside in the place where everyone would wash their feet before coming in, because no one wore shoes in those days, so one's feet would become very, very, would become filthy from walking in the dirty streets. So they would wash them outside, and that place was a very dirty place, and Mahaprabhu just sat there. would not come inside, but he'd exhibited an incredible effulgence that was so attractive that everyone came to him, especially Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur. He came to him and offered his hand and said that you are just like Narayan because you are so effulgent. Why are you sitting in this dirty place? And why are you not associating with us? His heart was melted. Mahaprabhu was young, just 24 years old. Perhaps at that time he was a bit older. He was older. 7 years had passed since his taking sannyas. But he was young for a sannyasi. And so beautiful, so beautiful. Why, he said, are you sitting outside? Why are you neglecting the other sannyasis of Benares? You appear to have been so, you're so realized that you're effulgent like Lord Narayan himself. So come inside. And he extended his affectionate hand to Mahaprabhu. And then he sat down with him. And in front of the other sannyasis, he asked Mahaprabhu, why is it that you don't study with us? Why aren't you studying Vedanta? And Mahaprabhu very humbly replied, Murkha tumi. Murk means, kya? Fool. I'm a fool. Murkha tumi. He said, my Guru Maharaj, Sri Ishwarapuri, he told me that I should not study Vedanta. Why? Murkha tumi. Tomar nahika Vedanta adhikar. You don't have the qualification to study Vedanta. Well, then what should I do? I am such a fool. Krishna mantra japa sada. You just always chant this Krishna mantra. A mantra sar. This mantra is the essence of the Vedas. This is the essence of existence. This mantra, this Krishna mantra is everything. It will award everything. You do this. Don't take this jnana path. Now Mahaprabhu, of course, if you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was the most incredible scholar, not at all a fool. So then Mahaprabhu continued to explain why he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, why he chants Krishna Mantra. He said, he was still quoting Sri Ishwarapuri, simply by chanting the name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. That means all suffering. Sarva Papa Chai. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Not only the removal of suffering, but one will be able to attain the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That means the service of Krishna, which is the ultimate, which is the actual goal, prema pramato mahan. And then, in this age, Mahaprabhu again is speaking the words of Ishwarapuri to them. What incredible preaching techniques. They're saying, why are you doing what you're doing? And he's saying, because my spiritual master considered me such a fool, he told me to chant Krishna's names. And why did he say chant Krishna's names? In the age of Kali, there is no other religious principle. He's not saying that they are fools other than indirectly. There is no other religious principle in the age of Kali other than chanting the holy name, which is the essence of the Vedas. This is the purport, the conclusion of all Shastra. And after describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep the name within my throat. Always keep it in one's mouth. And he taught him this verse
And that verse is Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama, Hadir Nama, Eva Kebalam, Kalo Anasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatianiata. And Mahaprabhu continued, since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I think that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I've become bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. He's speaking to the Mayavadi sannyasis like this, telling of his experience of chanting. I begin to consider it has made me mad. While chanting the holy name of Krishna in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. I thus laugh and cry. I dance and sing like a madman. Now, there are too many madmen in this world. People laugh, people cry, people dance, and people sing in this world. But what was happening to Mahaprabhu was of a different level completely. The depth of his ecstasy in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, was causing these external manifestations of ecstasy, the external manifestations of his internal consciousness were being manifest in these sattvika bhavs and anubhavs of laughing, of dancing, of crying, and the tears that is described, that comes from Mahaprabhu's eyes, they are like syringes. If you've seen in the holy festival, or you've seen even the picture of it, they take syringes and big gushes of dye come out and they go for 10, 15 feet. Mahaprabhu's tears are compared to that, also compared to the Ganga. So what is going on in his consciousness to make these symptoms manifest externally? This is something for us to meditate upon, and also meditate upon how he quote, achieved this, because he's taking the role of a sadhaka here, a practitioner, by chanting Krishna's names. Kalona, Stevena, Stevena, Steva, Gatianayata. This is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is what is to be obtained on top of the hill of Barshana that Lord Brahma is allowing us to walk upon his head, to have some association with the dust that Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and all the Sakis and the Gopas touched with their lotus feet 5,000 years ago as they displayed their pastimes in Barshana. And that Barshana is pouring through. Now, how did Sri Ishwara Puri react with this? So first Mahaprabhu continues, I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted that at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I've become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes one to dance, laugh, and cry. And when my spiritual master heard all of this, he smiled and began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is the very nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Abhina tam namanamana. It is Krishna. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. And then I'll just end this section with the continuation of his words on this point. It is very good, Ishwarapuri. Mahasai said, it is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association of devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam. For by this process, you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Mahaprabhu himself, he wrote his Shikastakam, his 8 prayers glorifying the holy name that take us from the beginning stages or the stages, the first sloka, which probably we all know, it creates in us an enthusiasm to chant because Param Vijayate Si Krishna Sankirtanam, there are 7 perfections that the holy name deliver. And the 8th sloka, the 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th, they explain how the holy name brings us to the topmost position, experiential position of love for Krishna in the mood of the Brajbasis. This is what the holy name is meant to give us. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for, or one of the reasons he came, to give us this gift. Take this Maha Mantra. So, the first verse, let's say it together, of the Sikshastak. Cheto darpanamajanam bhava mahadavagni navapanam chandrika bataranam vidyavaru jivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipatam Purnam Rita Sadhanam Savatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So there is the translation of this verse, but Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have divided this translation into 7 parts. And these 7 parts are the effects of chanting Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Chanting Krishna's names, it cleanses. Marjana means cleansing and Darpana means the mirror. Because we have taken so many births and we have filled our consciousness with so much dust, so much dirt, so much material desire, so much garbage. When we walked down the hill yesterday, when we got at the very bottom, we reached a garbage pit, and it looked very familiar because I'd seen much of that while I was chanting on top of the hill. This is what we have. So much does I want this, the only if disease, only if this has happened, then that would, only if I could have this, this person has that, I want that. This is what the consciousness is covered with. For millions and millions of births, like a mirror covered by 30 miles of dust. When you look in a mirror covered by 30 miles of dust, what do you see? You see dust only. You see dirt only. What don't you see? You're looking in the mirror. You don't see yourself. You just see the dirt. And that is what happens when we sit or don't sit. This is the consciousness of a conditioned soul. Only dirt interacting and reacting with itself. So Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the heart, the consciousness is cleaned slowly, slowly, or in one moment, in one moment, if we chant without offense. Eka Krishna Nama Kaila Sarva Papa Chai. It's all removed. This is Mahaprabhu's gift. Liberation from this miserable material existence, but more than that too, being established in the loving service of Krishna. Second, Bhavamaha Devagnina Vapanam, it extinguishes, when enough dirt is removed, all the miseries, the forest fire, Mahadavagni. Navapuram means extinguished, like in Vrindavan. Raise your hand if you've been to Davanala Kund in Vrindavan. Yes, it is the place where Krishna swallowed the forest fire. And Samsara Davanala, forest fire. By chanting Krishna's names, the great forest fire of material existence, Navapanam, is extinguished. Third, that's the second effect. The third effect, Shreya Karaiva Chandrika Vitaranam. Excuse me. Vitaranam means spreading. The Shreya Karaiva Chandrika, the white lotus of our good fortune, of our spiritual life, it spreads its leaves, it begins to blossom by the Chandrika, by the cooling moonbeams of Krishna's holy names. So our two metaphors, like, what's the German word for metaphor or analogies?
Metaphor.
Yes, that. Two are used. One is the mirror to describe our identity. First we have to be cleansed. The mirror has to be cleansed so we could see ourselves. Then we see ourselves. And the second one is the blossoming of our actual identity of who we are in relationship with Krishna. That's the third effect of chanting the holy name. The fourth, Vidya Varu Jivanam, a very... Vidya means knowledge, Vadu means wife, and Jivana means life. So the life of the wife of knowledge, or something like that. The meaning isn't so obvious, but what it means, as explained by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is that just like the wife naturally follows the husband, in a similar way, transcendental knowledge naturally follows the chanting of Krishna's holy names. And transcendental knowledge comes to the point. The beginning is asochanan visochastam pragyavanam chabasise, that we shouldn't lament for the body, we are eternal souls. And the final point of transcendental knowledge is, or one of the final points, is who we are, our actual relationship with Krishna, who we are, sambandha, our relationship with Krishna, Krishna sambandha vijnana dayane prabhave nama, the obeisances to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in that, giving our actual relationship, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the holy name will bestow that upon us. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaks about this very strongly. The holy name, and Maharaj spoke about it yesterday. And this was very, very important. The final part of Maharaj's lecture was very important. But because of the time constraints, and because it was less, we might not have, penetrated very deeply. But this... The title of it, what was the title? Revelation? Name, the holy name in Revelation, that last part? Yes, that the holy name, Revelation, means reveal. We don't have to go and get someone to say you are like this and you will be like this, you'll be like this. It doesn't work like that in at this time. Or it's very, very difficult to wear that, to come from the conditioned platform and attain perfection. But rather, when perfection is realized by the by the holy name, then that is revealed. And then, that's the fourth one, the fifth, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, that it releases in the heart, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, an ever-increasing ocean of transcendental ecstasy, of bliss. We use, that's a bliss, bliss Prabhu, it's a Hare Krishna word, but bliss is bliss. It's the natural condition of the soul. It's something from the transcendental platform. Patipadam Purna Amrita Aswadanam. Swadanam means the taste. Purna means complete. Amrita means nectar. The nectarian taste at every step. One can relish the nectarian taste that we are hankering for. The soul separated from Krishna is in the desert. And when one is in the desert, one's tongue and one's existence becomes dry. And we tend to follow mirages, looking for something that does not exist in the desert. But this fulfills the soul, this chanting of Krishna's names, because it establishes one in Krishna's service. And then finally, Sarvatma Snapanam, it bathes the soul of all subtle and gross contaminations, and it bathes the soul ultimately in ecstasy, the holy names. And if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll hear and see the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's shocking. Here, just by reading his words to Ishwara Puri and the Mayavad Sannyasis, if we actually listen to them carefully and see what he's saying, that this Maha Mantra produced the highest ecstasy in his heart, and it manifested itself in amazing ways, eruptions on his body, tears pouring from his eyes, his limbs would withdraw completely into his body and he would become like a pumpkin. Sometimes his limbs would separate in the joints, so there would be 6 inches between one joint and the next. We know this by the words of Raghunath Das Goswami, who actually witnessed these things, who spoke them to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And this is what Prabhupada translated for us. These are the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, because the holy names gives these 7 effects, therefore Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It is victorious. Jayate means it is supremely victorious. Param Vijayate over the material world. It completely destroys the material world for the conditioned soul. So, yes, it destroys material existence for the conditioned soul. So much so that although we hear that the material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam anitya sukham lokam, we hear it so much how miserable the material world is, sometimes we don't even want to hear it anymore. But the holy name establishes one in Vishwapurna Sukhayate, that the whole material world becomes filled simply with happiness. Now, after hearing the glories of the holy name, Mahaprabhu says in the second sloka that we are familiar with, of course, he says, Nam Nam Akari Bhuda Nivasava Shaktis. More glorification of the holy name, that you are filled sarva shakti, you have all potency, O holy name, Nama Prabhu, all potency. And Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Niva Sarva Shaktis Tatapita Nimita Smarane Nakala, that Bahuda Niva Sava Shakti, all, not only one potency, Bahu, many, 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 all potencies are there because Krishna is there. And there is no restriction for chanting the holy name. In the Vedic mantras, to perform the Vedic sacrifices, there is the consideration of birth, there is the consideration of time and place, initiations. This season you do this thing, that season you do that thing. But with the holy name, we can chant it everywhere, and we are meant to chant it everywhere. There is no consideration, smarane na kala. But itadrishi tava kripa, out of your mercy, my dear Lord, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is beginning to establish the mood in chanting. And Prabhupada explains this in one of his purports of Kunti Devi's prayers in Janmaishwarya Shuddhisri Bir. He says the holy name can give everything, but there is a quality that is required in its chanting. It is a quality of feeling, Prabhupada explains. So you are so kind. This is the beginning of the entrance in Mahaprabhu into more further, more deeply into the science of chanting. Tava kripa bhagavamamapi durdaiva midrisa meha nanu januraga. Durdaiva means what? Unfortunate. Look what it is there in the holy name. But unfortunate, durdaivam. Unfortunate as I am, na anuraga. Anuraga means affection or attachment. Na, I have no attachment for this. I have no attachment for you. Now what? In this kind, merciful form, I have aversion even. Because, in fact, we have aversion to Krishna. Krishna bule se jiva nadi bai muk. If I'm speaking to... Maharaj, can I borrow my dear devotees for this? Thank you. If I'm speaking to the dear devotees here, and then if the dear devotees just turn their back on me as I'm speaking... Oh, how painful it would be, and what to speak of removing any of my enthusiasm. But how it would actually, it's so insulting, it's so painful. Krishna, my dear devotees, is a person, and he is the holy name, he is his holy name. We turn our back on Krishna. Krishna bule se jeev anadiya bahimukh. Durdaivam, we are so unfortunate that despite Krishna's coming in the form of the holy names, we have no attachment or attraction, and in fact we have aversion. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on the Shikshastakam, and also in more detail in his Bhajan Rahasya, he describes the causes of our misfortune. And Maharaj described each and every one of them. And I will go over them again because I am still durdaivam, extremely durdaivam. The first one is the causes of our misfortune is, I'll change the order here, is tattva vibhrama. We don't know tattva. We don't know the truth. We don't know the philosophy. We're confused about who we are. We can say that we are spirit souls. So that is one type of confusion. But there are deeper confusions than that. One is that we are insignificant because we, being bewildered by false ego, think ourselves very, very important and basically the center of the universe, and we wish everything to revolve around our desires, and the only problem in the world is that the rest of the universe doesn't agree to revolve around itself around me, and therefore I'm angry and frustrated and filled with other desires and friends and enemies. It all springs from false ego, misidentification of who we are. And not only are we insignificant souls, we're actually servants of Krishna. We cannot revoke this, practically speaking. This is who we are. We're in relationship. And because we've turned our back on Krishna, we are lacking relationship. We are lonely. And this is, we can say that the condition of every soul in the material world can be characterized simply by this one thing. We are lonely. Existentially empty, lonely. So that's one of the tattva, the illusion about who we are. The second one is where we don't know who Krishna is. Oh, who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, we don't know who Krishna is. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And we don't know the process of sadhana. Oh, yes, we do, chanting Hare Krishna. But there's so much depth in that. And we have a lack of understanding clearly what is favorable and unfavorable for our devotional service. So that's Tattva Vibhrama. That's one of the four that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Bhajan Rahasya. The second one is Asat Trishna. Maharaj emphasized this one. Our material Asat means the temporary, and Trishna means thirst. We thirst for the temporary in four forms: desire for material objects, petty desires for material comforts, mystic powers, more subtle, wanting to control the material energy. And the fourth is one that we tend to suffer from in subtle ways, and it infects our devotional service very deeply, and that's the desire for liberation. And we chant Hare Krishna, we want to go back home, back to Godhead, even because it's just so much suffering in this world. This has nothing, really speaking, it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Because who's the center? It's still me. That means false ego is working strongly. As long as I'm the center, false ego is king and ruling. The third one is Hridaya Dolabam. Attachment to objects not related to Krishna, deceitfulness, kutinati, and fault-finding, enviousness, matsarja, and desire for fame, pratishta. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, watch out for this. Watch out for this one, O sadhus. This one does not leave very easily. And finally, the fourth one is aparad, or offenses. And in his commentary on Shikshastak, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions only one thing that makes us unfortunate, and that is this one, aparad, or offenses. Now, 2 days ago in Prem Sarova, Maharaj went through the offenses and the positive cures for them. And I won't do that right now, but I want to speak about the same one that Maharaj emphasized. And that same one is, does anyone remember? Oh, yes, pramada, or inattention. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that this one is the root of the other offenses. Even if we can try so hard to not offend the devotees, usually, I should say one very short paragraph perhaps about sato nindam parama aparadam vitanute, offending the devotees. Because I would like to stress, if we stop casual criticisms of the devotees, and this is the one danger, we glorify the association of devotees, but this is the one danger in the association of devotees, and I see it. My own, so easily we go, blah, blah, blah. Did you hear this one's like this, and this one had this problem, and blah, 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 blah. And if you become conscious of what this, you can feel it in your heart just by talking bad, or you hear someone, this bad thing happen, and secretly, and you go, oh, how terrible, and secretly in the heart, there is some elation, some uplifting, some happiness. You can feel the lotus of your heart going like this. We should avoid the casual, the conscious and the unconscious casual criticism of, and how cheaply and easily we do this, and how frequently we do this. This one's like this, and this one's like this, and blah, 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 blah. Gramyakatana Sunibe, Mahaprabhu told. This is the worst kind of gramyakata. But I don't want to emphasize that, but I wanted to mention it, because we cannot achieve what we want to achieve if we keep this bad habit. Then, to pramada, inattention while chanting. Now, what I would like to... it's good for me to do this, because it reminds me that going to die soon, because everything is falling apart. To go up the mountain, oh, we forgot one thing. I did well. I would like to present in my classes four keys, and Maharaj mentioned each and every one of them. Actually, I would like to present three keys. And we're going to keep the fourth one somewhat mysterious, but we'll talk about it. These, the hints on these, on 1, 2, and 3, I'll directly say what they are. But the fourth one, my dear devotees, you will have to find yourself. But Maharaj spoke about it.
Also.
But before we immediately start wondering, forget the first three, what is the fourth one? One key to open all the locks. If we have that one, all the rest will naturally come. And we'll speak about that right at the end of today's class, the final class today at Prem Sarova. But I would like to speak about pramada, or inattention. And then I would like to give what I've found. This is a key that may not work in your lock, but it is what I've found is the best thing. I mean, there's no magic in this, and the fourth key helps us understand that. There's no like, and that's what you come to a retreat and yes, there is magic, but it's not that kind of magic, like a pill that your headache is gone. There is magic, but it's a different kind of magic. This first one will be on pramada, as I said, and it is the best thing that one soul who has a tremendous amount of problem with pramada has, the best thing that he has found to do it. To deal with it. And there are four principles in this, in dealing with pramada in this way. And to understand how to deal with, what's the problem while chanting? What's the main problem? The mind. Okay, the mind is running. Now, Maharaj, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, mentioned three different types of pramada: indifference, vichepta, and laya. Sleepiness, born out of the mode of ignorance, vichepta, the grasshopper, mind jumping everywhere, and indifference, complete, I don't care, no taste at all, no interest. Now, The one that is, that in one sense that this concentrates on is vichepa. Now, the mind's business, before we understand how to do it, I would like to describe something about the workings of the mind in a very simple fashion. The mind is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in the 25th chapter in Kapila Muni's teachings in the Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Now, in that chapter, it's a very, very, very difficult chapter, as you would imagine, because it describes what the material universe is made out of. And one of the things that it describes in passing, in one verse, is the mind. But the mind isn't described as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita as a separate element. In the Bhagavad Gita, what's the verse? Bhumira po nalo vayu kam mano buddha evacha ahankara. So it is described as one of the subtle elements. But here in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Kapila Muni describes one substance with four functions. Now this is what he says. Manu, mano, buddhir, ahankaras. So mind, intelligence, and ahankara. Chittam, this is the fourth substance. And that is the consciousness. Mind, intelligence, and ahankar, false ego, and consciousness. But not the soul's consciousness, but consciousness that is only slightly contaminated. It is polluted, but slightly so. So therefore it is swacham, it is clear. The function of each of these, they are interrelated. The mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and citta, polluted consciousness. They are interrelated. So he says here that there is one substance, but chaturda lakshate bedo, the difference between these terms is the vritya lakshana rupaya, is how they are functioning. Vritya, or the vritti, means the functioning. So depending upon how this one substance is functioning, it's termed either the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, or contaminated consciousness, or citta. Now, false ego, I used to think I had problems with my mind, which I do, but it's really the false ego that is the big problem. And we will deal with these things in the second class in more detail. But the mind's job, its function is basically to protect the false ego. The mind, we're talking about on the material level. The mind's function is to protect the false ego, this false sense of who I am. You bump into me and I become angry at you. False sense of who I am. You insult me, I become angry at you. This is the mind's working. You say something glorifying me, I become very happy with you. You're very intelligent. This is the mind's working, to protect the false sense of who I am. And who am I? That's ahankara's business, to give us a false sense of identity. And what is that false sense of identity? Anything. There are 8,400,000 species and innumerable divisions in that. Any identity other than I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. That is what the false ego does. It fills the consciousness with a sense of self, anything but belonging to Krishna. And the mind's business is to protect that. And it uses two basic mechanisms to protect it, and that is sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. I want this icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. I don't want this. I want this. I don't want this. I want this. I don't want this. Based on the false ego. And the intelligence's job, when it basically, it makes plans. It makes plans based on satisfying the mind's desires. Now I'll explain this a little bit more in another class. But what we have to do, and our mission while chanting, is to simplify the mind's function at this time. And the simplest way to do that is, that I have found, is to stop thinking, what am I supposed to be doing now? I'm supposed to be listening to my rounds. I'm supposed to be listening to 16 rounds. I'm supposed to be listening to this one round. And just make it very, 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 very simple. And that simple instruction for the mind is chant and listen to one mantra. This is the first part of this key. Listen to, and here we'll talk about that a little bit later, make a distinction between listen to and hear. But listen to one mantra. Only one mantra. Simplify your task. And sometimes when the mind is running a bit, don't even try this. Just listen to one name of Krishna. And one name of Krishna is so powerful. Sarva papachai. All sinful reactions are gone. It's so powerful. So either listen to one mantra or even one name at a time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Like that. Now, if you decide that you're going to do this, that I'm only going to listen to one mantra at a time, or not at a time even, I'm only going to listen to one mantra now. Don't even think of it at a time. And then after I listen to this one, I'm going to have to listen to the next one. And then I'm going to have to listen to the next time, because then the mind will say, how long do I have to do this? But don't. The mind is actually very, it's such a strange thing. It's simultaneously very, very simple and very, very tricky. If you keep it simple, it will act simply. Now, before you can do this, and I'll show you what I mean. Let's just try it right now. You can take out your beads. Take out your beads, if you have them, or not, never mind. And just listen to one mantra. This is what we're going to do right now. And the second principle in this is sankalpa. Listen to one mantra and you have to make a determination that this is what I'm going to do right now. Your mind's going to tell you, I should be doing this, you should be doing that, I have to think about this, is very important. Don't listen to it. Make a determination. All I have to do is listen to one Hare Krishna Maha mantra. The results are incredible. Okay, let's just try this now. First, make a sankalpa in your mind. What are we going to do right now? I'm going to listen to one mantra. And from what I've seen, unless you actually make this sankalpa in your mind, it doesn't work. Unless you become determined and understand what the actual task is, it won't work. Listen to one mantra and decide, this is all I'm going to do. Take all your determination and focus it on this one thing I'm going to hear. Listen to one mantra. Now we're going to try this.
In one voice? Or each?
In one voice. Same system. Okay, make your determination. This is all you have to do right now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It'll only take a few seconds. You ready? You have to be very determined because the mind will sneak in. Okay, become determination. Make your determination. And I'll say it one time, and as I'm saying it, you don't have to listen to what I'm saying it, because I'll set the speed. And then on the second time, I'll go like this. And everyone prepare the mind, and then we'll chant together. So I'll say it alone first. Hare, and you make your determination. You have everyone, wait. And on the second one, when I go like this, bring your determination to chant in with full force. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stop. How much of it did you hear? Raise your hand. Did anyone hear the whole mantra?
I heard half.
Yes. I got about... because I was thinking... Yeah, same with me about... How did you do? Anyone else? Half. Okay. Let's try it again. Make the determination. Chant at that speed. And the most important word to hear, from what I've seen, is the first Hari. So if you can catch the first Hari, you can catch the whole thing. Okay, make your determination. This time we'll chant two mantras all together at my speed. Make your determination. You have to make the determination first. You're determined? This is all we have to do now. It won't take long. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Okay, stop, stop. Make another determination. Begin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now make it in between. We're going to chant a few mantras, maybe four, but in between each one, if you so desire, make the determination that I'm going to listen to one mantra. Which one? The one I'm chanting right now. Okay, I'll start with one mantra. I'll chant it alone, and then everyone on the second one when I go like this. And in between, make your determination, if you so desire, that I'm going to listen to this mantra that I'm chanting now. I'll chant alone first. That will give you time to make your sankalpas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Sankalpa and chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Okay, stop. Stop now, please. How did you do? Raise your hand. Anyone like to? Yes. Yes, and you know what you should say? One mantra. Listen to one mantra. No matter what comes in, and amazing things start coming in.
whatever it is. That's the mind. And you have to give the mind a different task. Listen to one sound of Krishna's holy name. Anyone else?
But from what I've seen, is don't become more determined about the next mantra. Just become determined about the one you're chanting now.
But it happens automatically.
Oh, how wonderful. But if you start thinking ahead...
No, you're not thinking ahead.
Yes, that's my point.
When you start chanting, it seems to be that you want to become determined more in that mantra.
Yes. Oh, yes, thank you. That mantra and that mantra alone. Because what will happen is the mind will say, I'll be more determined on the next mantra. And then the mind will respond to itself, no, no, how about the one after? And then, no, no, how about the one after? And then then the mind is gone. One thing and one thing only, the mantra, the holy name or the mantra I'm chanting now. And what are we doing at the present? We're touching, and that's where the hearing comes in as opposed to listening. That we want to bathe our consciousness in the holy name, but before we can do that, we have to listen. And then the hearing will come as a product of listening. Yes?
I could also feel that... that this exercise possessed immediately a deeper level of hearing the mantra.
Yes.
And I lost it the moment I went into the future. For instance, I thought, what if Burijan Prabhu lets us chant up till the night now? Because you could have done this, because you said, concentrate only...
I hadn't considered that. Let me write that down.
And then I thought, oh, nonsense, and I was again with the duty.
Yeah.
The moment the mind is committed to be in the now moment and concentrate on the now, that's good. But I also found out, at least in my mind, I have to do it gently. If I force it like... Yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, or whatever the name is, you know, with a lot of mental muscles, I go into a spasm. I have to do it gently.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. In the third class, I'll discuss different methods of dealing with the mind.
Very interesting.
Three.
Very helpful, yes.
But now it's 9 o'clock, so we don't want to get behind schedule. But we'll start with this. In Prem Sarova, I would just we'll start with some practice, and then we'll also go. There's four simple principles with this first key, four very simple principles, and we'll discuss the next two at Prem Sarova at our Namkund. But I would like to also say that there's an extra benefit to not having gone in one go right up the hill and not to return, is because now we're visiting this Prem Kunj and we'll visit the Velaskar for a second time. And it's very different when you go to a place for the first time and you go to a place, a holy place, for the second time, and also a third time and a fourth time. Because these places are people. Their personage. And just like when you meet someone for the first time, you act in one way and you don't immediately express yourself, and there's a limit to how much affection you show the first time when you meet someone. When the second time comes, you're more relaxed. Oh, I know this person. And you go further and deeper in your relationship. So similarly, when we go back to our Nam Kunj, Nam Kutir at Prem Sarova, it won't be the same. We've been there once, and this special place will reciprocate with us more intimately and more deeply. And the same thing when we go tomorrow to Velaskar. It's different, more intimate, more personal. So What's the rest of the... Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.